Please take your seats.
Well, good morning again. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Titus chapter 3. And we're going to be starting a brand new series called The Power of Love as we move towards Christmas. And can I just say, some of you may have noticed, but I've been away on some annual leave. And just before I went on annual leave, it was a great week to choose to go on annual leave because Nicola decided to put us into T4 restrictions in Stirling. And like, there goes our Christmas program. And I was having to announce that another one of our pastors was planning to move on. And I'd written a letter. And so I sent that out. And then I switched off my email and my phone and everything. And kind of thought, I wonder what's going to be there when I get back, you know, when I switch it all on. And I thought, but at least I'll have a bit of a rest and then I'll be prepared for it. But I kind of envisaged it was going to be a wee bit like, we're doomed, and you know, that sort of message, you know, that great darkness has covered the land. And actually, when I came back and I switched on everything again, you know, I was amazed to see that the staff, particularly the admin staff, had risen to the challenge of sustaining and keeping our online program and ensuring it's going there. So we have Advent videos going on, we have messy church videos going on, we've got a carols and lessons that's going to be amazing, I hope it is anyway, that is coming on for Christmas Eve. An incredible program, and you know, people had just stepped up. In terms of volunteers, people had sacrificially said, you know, hey, there's a gap there, we'll come and do that. And people had begun to step up and do things. And I was just like, oh, this is amazing. And then I began to look at the emails that were being sent to me, and I was, again, anticipating that it was going to be hard to watch these emails. I've never had so many affirmative, supportive emails in terms of my whole ministry here in this place. I still haven't replied to them all, so forgive me if I haven't got back to you. I want to speak to people personally. But people were using words like torrid, relentless in those emails. And you know, they were recognizing it as being a tough, hard year. And you know, and anybody will recognize that it's been tough personally. And many of us have been taken to, you know, the point of complete exhaustion in terms of ourselves and our resources. It's been a tough year in terms of the church and in terms of the transitions that have been going on in the church. And the fact that we can have no community in which to process those transitions as we come together, either in corporate worship or in terms of meetings and interaction. And it's hard to do that. And it's been hard in terms of our community. And you know, and I know as I speak to people in our congregation, many, many are, you know, just at that last point where it's like, we just don't know. You know, we just don't know if we're going to get to next month. You know, whether we're going to get to Christmas or not. And you know, and many of us are at that point. And I was really inspired last week by Rosie's message where, you know, she was talking about Joshua looking at the challenge of Jericho and it seemed impregnable and impossible, and the promise that the battle belongs to the Lord. And that, you know what, if we rely on God, God will come through. Because actually, it's not about a human institution. It's not about our human resources. But we have a supernatural resource on which we can call. And because of that, we can look, even in the midst of the darkness that we were reading about in Isaiah, we can look to the promise of God's light breaking in. And if Advent is about anything, it is about God's light breaking in. And as we think about this theme, and as we prepare and think about Advent, I want to consider the nature of that light. We talk a lot about light, but what do we mean about the light of God? And as I thought about this, we began to plan Christmas way back in October, and then everybody was like, what's the theme going to be in things? And as I thought about it and prayed about it, I just felt we need to talk about love. Because the light of God is about the love of God. And the light of God that breaks in is actually in an experience and an encounter with his love. And here in Titus chapter 3, we have a brilliant summary, maybe one of the most succinct summaries of the gospel found throughout the New Testament. And at the heart of the summary is the idea of Christ coming as an expression of God's love. You see, it shows us that the dynamic of Christian life is twofold. It shows us that we have an awareness of our previous state. Paul describes it as you were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy. These are the things that mark a state where the Spirit of God is not working, being hated and hating one another. You know, this is a state where the Spirit is absent, where there is no presence of the Spirit, where there is no work of the Spirit. And he said, that was the state in which you were in. You were in a forsaken state. And he says, but as the love of God comes, there comes a transformation. And this is where we have the second aspect, the awareness of how God has expressed his love towards us in Christ. You see, we were once like this, but now we have this new experience. We are no longer marked by envy and malice and hatred and hating one another, but we are marked by an encounter with the love of God, that God has embraced us with his love through the coming of Christ. And there are three aspects in terms of this love that we see. First of all, it is an affirmation of who God is. Paul then says in verse 4, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. You see, in Paul, as he makes that statement, he's expressing the nature of who God is. A lot of people have a wrong image of who God is, and they think that he's some sort of angry deity out there set to punish us or to judge us, and looking to mark our failure. And John the Apostle, who was the closest person to Jesus on earth, said, you know, God is love. And if we were to talk about the nature of God, it is love. You see, when Jesus came, he came to tell men and women of the Father whose heart was open and whose hands were stretched out in love. Not a God with a baseball bat ready to pick us up on any failure, ready to criticize us at a moment's notice, ready to denigrate us in any way that he could. This was not the God that Jesus revealed in his coming, and he came to reveal this God. He came to tell us not of a justice which would pursue us forever, but of a love which would never let us go. And that's what Jesus came to express, this open-hearted God who is essentially love. The second affirmation that he came to explain, and Paul draws out here, is that this God's love is unconditional. You know, he offers us love not based on who we are, but on who he is. You see, the love of God does not vary. You'll know that human love often is very variable. If you listen to any pop song, you'll know how variable it is. Ooh, baby, baby, I used to love you, but I don't love you anymore. And you know that sort of expression, that's going to be one of my next songs I'm thinking about releasing as a Christmas number one. Anyway, but you know that kind of fickle way that love goes? That's, you know, I kind of used to love you when we first met, and you were this way, but now you seem to have changed. And I just don't love you anymore because you've changed. And you know, and love seems so incredibly fragile. And I've spoken to friends, and they found it hard during all this year with their spouses. And, you know, because let's face it, we've had a lot of close proximity, much more close proximity than we normally have. And that can be tough. And that can be hard for individuals. And yet, here we learn something about God's love. That God's love is not based on the object of affection, but in his heart. It's based on who God is and not who we are. And so his love is not variable. It doesn't move from number one to number 10 in terms of its setting, because it comes from his heart and is based on who he is. And so this love is unconditional. Paul uses actually two words. He uses this word goodness, which means an all-embracing kindness which produces warm feeling and a sense of generous action. I love that definition. What he's saying is this love that God generates in you, a sense of warm feeling and a sense of generous action towards you, which automatically creates the spontaneity of, you know, thank you, God. And then he uses the word love, and you'll know in Greek that there are various words for love. We're going to look at some of them over the next couple of weeks. But it means a sense of feeling valued. You know, I remember, don't know if you watch Christmas movies, but there's loads of them. And usually, they're all the same storyline. There's like a single storyline to a Christmas movie. But I remember one of the lines from a Christmas movie, which was about the relationship between a man and a woman. And it was, the person said, your love helps me to be the best version of myself. Your love helps me to be the best version of myself. And I thought, isn't that a description of what love is? You know, the love of a parent for a child should allow the child to become the best version of what that child should be. The love of a partner for another partner should enable that partner to become the best version of what that person should be. The love that exists within a church should be enabling us to become the best versions of what we are in ourselves. You know, negativity and criticism never enables people to be the best versions of themselves. You know, you create an environment of criticism and negativity. You create an environment where people are torn down rather than built up, where there is no sense of warm feeling and a sense of generous action towards one another. And you watch what happens to the versions of individuals that you find around. But you have a love, an unconditional love that is seen in the nature of who God is, and you watch what happens to who the individuals are. If you don't believe me, test it empirically. You know, just see what happens, and God's love allows us to be the best version of what we are in terms of ourselves. The third thing that we see in this passage then, as Paul goes on, is he explained that he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ ourselves, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. See, inheritance is what's being described here. And what Paul is saying is, he's saying, this is the nature of God. And the nature of God is this unconditional love. And now he wants you to understand that the church's inheritance is this unconditional love. And he's saying that this unconditional love is not only something that we receive as individuals or as a church, but that we become the medium for this love. You see, love is mediated through the church, or it should be. And he talks about how this comes about through the rebirth of baptism, what he describes in terms of renewal, and the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings forgiveness and hope. And he says this becomes your inheritance, that actually church becomes a place where the love that Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal is expressed and seen in the midst of the individual. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the church mediating the love of God to others. You know, I love the fact that at Christmas we get opportunity to be generous towards others. You'll have seen a letter I sent at the beginning of this week. We aren't doing a, a formal appeal. But we are saying, you know, there are a lot of people who are struggling financially and in other ways at this time. And we would just like to say, you know what? We're here and we care. And then you've got an opportunity to do that through one of the things that we're doing. But, you know, as we do that, we're actually expressing something of God's love. You know, I know that when people get, we're hoping to send out some gift cards and some gifts. And I know that when people will get those gifts and those gift cards, hopefully they'll have a warm feeling and a sense of generous action. You know, those people have done something. You know, in terms of your relationships with one another, here's the thing. How are you relating to each other this Christmas? You know, are people experiencing the love of God through what you're doing and how you're behaving and what you're saying? Are they experiencing the love of God in terms of your attitude? Or are they experiencing something that looks much more like what Paul describes the state that we were in before Christ revealed the love of God? A state marked by envy and maliciousness and hating and hatred, by passions that are uncontrolled. Or are we expressing the love of God which allows us to be the best versions of ourselves? A love of God which expresses that unconditional transforming nature that God has and desires to implement through the work of His Spirit in our lives. You see, Christmas, if it's about anything, it's about God's love and its transforming presence. This Christmas, let's realize the power of love in our lives, in our church, and in our community. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the expression of your love. We thank you that you're a God who is defined by love. And we thank you for the nature that is revealed in Jesus of that love. We thank you for the unconditional nature of that love, that it is not based on who we are or even what we do, but based on who you are and your heart towards us. We thank you that you are an open-hearted God who stretches out his hands of love towards each one of us. Lord, help us this Christmas to mediate that love and impart that love to others. We ask this in your name. Amen.